Good morning, good afternoon. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, who is the head of the church. I am Larry Daniels, and again, I pastor in Shiloh Baptist Church in Terrell, Texas. It is my home church, and I'm excited to be there, and the challenge continues. I'd like to say to your pastor, join me in just sharing a moment to show him some love. Come on, let's show Pastor Will some love. Amen. Amen. He's more than a student where I am. He's been drafted to teach at the Trinity Valley Baptist Seminary and College. Along beside him is his wife, amen, Sister Milbury. Let's show her some love, amen. Listen, I just believe that if you do love your pastor, you ought to show some love, amen. Love is not just a word, it is action, amen. And so it's good to be here with you on this morning. Give me a moment while I kind of gather myself to share with you a word from the Lord. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh, how we thank you and we praise you and love you, for you are an awesome God, you're a mighty God, you're good to your people, Father. And so, Lord, now that we're here in your presence, humbly we bow, speak to us now. Now that we're here, we're waiting to hear from you. Speak, Lord. Address our situation, and that when we leave here, we will know that we have had an encounter with you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength and our Redeemer. Forgive us this day, Lord, of our sins and transgressions, that we may hear a word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Now, I am accustomed to participation in preaching. Amen. I like to know there's somebody in the house. Amen. Amen. Now, if you love the Lord, say amen. 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 Again, it is good to be here with you on this day. When Pastor Will asked me to come, I felt very, very honored to come and share with you a word from the Lord. I take preaching seriously, for you never know where one is positioned in the body of Christ or either in the world. And so preaching is it's serious. And although sometimes we take our moments and make a lightheartedness of the situation, eternity is hanging in the balance, and so we try to stress in the act of preaching the importance of it, so that if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus, that does not have a relationship with him, we pray that the Lord would speak to your heart on this day and give you a change of life. Amen? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark? The book of Mark, St. Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. And when you find it, say amen. Also, it is a blessing to be here to share with you on this day. This time that you spend in Christian education and in open house, amen. So I feel somewhat right at home, amen. And being with you even on this day. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. You'll find these words. And the same day, when the evening was come, he, Jesus, said unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to title our sermon this morning, Learning from Jesus. Learning from Jesus. I'm that kind of preacher that looks into the text and allow the text to speak for itself. What I do understand that there are times when the Lord wants us to learn as much as we can, but learn from him. You see, the world offers their view of education, but it only fits worldliness. It only fits on how you can adjust yourself to the life in the world. But how many of us know that this morning that we are in the world, but we're not of the world? The teachings that we get in the world are teachings that fit for the world. But we need some education above the world. We need not just natural education. We need supernatural education. And so in this text, we find that if you saw in at the beginning of chapter 4, you would find that Jesus took a day to teach. Amen. Not just a few hours. Not just a day of classroom instruction, but he took the whole day to teach. And it helps us to understand that there are times when we ought to just labor in teaching and labor in receiving the word that is being taught. The Lord knows exactly where we are in our walk of faith. And he knows where we are, and because he knows where we are, he knows where he wants us to be. You see, we're not who we once used to be, thank God. But there's still room for improvement this morning. Am I right about it? We've grown a little way, but we still have some more growth to obtain. And so when we talk about learning from Jesus, we talk about a receiving knowledge or attaining knowledge that is from him who knows all things. You see, I've been in the math class, and the math teacher knows everything about math, algebra, and trigonometry. But he doesn't know, he may not know what number do I dial to get into eternal life. I've been in reading classes, and I've listened to the teacher help teach pupils about reading, but that teacher may not know everything that needs to be read in order to hear a word from the Lord. I've been in some English classes, and I've learned how to speak well. Some may say I do, and some may say I don't. But I learned that there is a certain way to talk. But it does not mean that we learn how to speak what God wants us to say. And so Jesus says, here, let me take a day and a moment in time and teach my disciples. Hence, learning from Jesus. And he's willing to talk to us in a manner that we can receive his word. He doesn't talk too far up here, and he doesn't talk too far down there. But he wants to meet us where we are in our learning curve. So there are times when he'll talk about a sower, one that sows seeds. He will talk about nature and how nature exists, that we can receive a lesson, oftentimes through parables. But then there are times when he really wants to go deep. And so here in our lesson today, he began to talk, and he had a multitude of people. And because he had a multitude mixed in with his disciples, he taught from parables. He gave them stories that they could attain some sense of value in. But at the end of the day, the disciples came and they asked him the meaning of the parables. And it began to go just a little deeper for the disciples. And church, that helps us to understand that as we learn how to sow, and as we learn the direction the wind blows, and as we learn that Christ is among us, that we need to have a hunger and thirst for knowledge. And the Bible says that we shall be filled. And there are some things that we learn when we're young in life we never forget. I often say to the church where I am, the congregation, we have Sunday school books. And it's amazing that in those Sunday school books, every 5 years, they'll go through a certain portion of lessons in the Bible, and then they'll start again. Every 5 years, they begin to repeat themselves. And so I had a moment of lightheartedness. I'm saying, and we had this one lesson that John 3:16. And I said to the congregation, I said, well, do we know this lesson? I said, because since I was a child, they've been teaching this same lesson. And I want to ask the question, do you get it? Do you have it? Because if you do, we can move on. You see what I'm saying? There are times that the lessons need repetition. But at some point, we need to have ears that hear what the Spirit's saying. We need to obtain the knowledge that God wants us to have over a period of time and then move on. And so Jesus understood where his disciples were in their learning curve. And so we come to verse 35, which is an interesting part of the story. And Jesus began to take, before the sun go down, when it became evening, he says to his disciple, let us pass over unto the other side. And the text helps us to understand that they prepared themselves to go to the other side. And many lessons have been made out of this passage. Let us go to the and pass over to the other side. The fact remains that Jesus said to his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Let us go over to the other side. And we hear what is being said, but are we listening to the lesson that's about to be taught? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Jesus, even as he was in the ship, and there was also other little ships. All right? And they set the picture for what is about to take place in learning from Jesus. And so as they began their task of going to the other side, while they were traveling, the text says in verse 37 that there arose a great storm of wind, and it began to beat into the ship and waves, and now the ship was full. And it helps us to understand that as the Lord directs our paths in life, as the Lord points the direction he wants us to go, as the Lord declares unto us, this is what I want us to do, there are times when storms can come. Anybody ever been in a storm? Anybody ever been in a tornado? I'm not talking about a rainstorm. I'm talking about a storm that begins to shake your life. And Jesus is willing to teach his disciples in a real storm. The Christian life is not a life filled with convenience. And we need to move on. We need to get that lesson. It is not a life of convenience. It is not a life that is filled with joy and happiness. Although, thank God for the moments of joy. Thank God for some happiness. But I can attest to you that all those that love the Lord, the Bible says, shall be persecuted. And so, are you prepared for what life has to offer following Jesus? You know, it's interesting because we can get the idea that it is going to be a life of luxury. But I found out in my short time on this earth that when I was a sinner, I got in trouble. But when I got saved, Jesus got me in trouble. And I struggled when I got myself in trouble to try to get out of the trouble. But when I got in trouble with Jesus, I had the opportunity to stop struggling, because if I get in trouble with Jesus, then Jesus has to get me out of the trouble. And the text shares with us that there arose a great storm of wind. And as we walk with the Lord, it just seems like I went to bed and I felt well and things were going right and I had my schedule for the next day. But when I got up in the morning, I found myself in a storm. He said, there arose a storm. Now, I'm a word person. Don't look past that. He said, there arose a storm. Right where they were, that's where the storm began. And many times, right where you are, you think you're at home, safe in bed, and a storm can come into your bedroom, right in your living room, right on your job, when you think you're in the best place to be, a storm can come up right there. Storm comes up in our lives not because we've had bad behavior. Storms don't have to show up just because we are children of God. That's just the way life is. But in this story, a storm showed up, and Jesus knew the storm was coming, but he did not prevent it from showing up. And many times we ask ourselves, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? I really don't have an answer either. But when I look over into John chapter 11, and Jesus allowed Lazarus, his friend, to die, and I ask myself, Lord, why didn't you go see about him while he was sick? Why didn't you go see about him when he started to feel ill? But the text helps us to understand that these things would happen so God could receive his glory. And because it was Jesus who was allowing things to happen, it was Jesus who took Lazarus out of the grave. And every now and then we have to remember that if I'm in Jesus Christ and Christ is in me, whatever storm may come, I know that Jesus is the master of the storm. There arose a great storm of wind. Now, it's interesting here that they use two adjectives to describe this windstorm, this wind. They call it great and they call it a storm of wind. And because I understand what wind is, I have a good understanding, but do I know what it is? And so, like I do many times, because I'm afraid once I get in the classroom, I got a student who's going to ask me, what is wind? I have to be prepared. So I came prepared today to describe to you what is wind. It is an invisible force of air that moves in a certain direction with force behind it to move things in a particular direction. And when I looked at the parameters of this storm here, it arose right where they were. It was great. It was a storm of wind. And I said, Lord, why the storm of wind? And many times the Lord, he looks at us and he understands we can be better than who we are. And what happens is when we achieve and attain success, we sit there and we remain comfortable with our achievement. And yet God says, it may be enough for you. It may be enough for family. College preparation may be enough for your children. But it may not be enough for the Lord. And so he knows how to send a storm that you can't handle to drive you in a certain direction for his glory. Every now and then, storms come with purpose and storms come with intent. But because you are on the Lord's side, it never comes for your demise. Somebody wrote in Romans chapter 8, that all things are working for the good of those who love the Lord and are called by his purpose. Every now and then, we should ask the Lord, Lord, what are we to learn from you today? I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. Wind is blowing me in directions I do not want to go. Speak to my heart and address my situation. Not only was it a great storm of wind moving the ship in directions that caused alarms, the Bible says that waves beat into the ship. Now, if you're not careful, you'll think the waves just were battering the ship. And it was. And it's amazing what liquid can do to a solid. It's amazing what a little rain can do to a board. And it, as it began to beat into the ship, it has an, with the impact, it affects the stability of the wood. And so the wood began to allow the waves to come into the ship. You know, some of our best laid plans are not enough to stop life from coming in to your circle. Every now and then, even the enemy knows how to get into the breach in your wall. Every now and then, the Lord allows some things to happen, and it looks like it's about to consume you. And this is the way these men felt on this day, or this evening, as they were going over to the other side. The wind was blowing and the water was beating into the ship. And it is in situations where life becomes a crisis that we begin to cry out unto the Lord. Text helps us to understand something here, y'all. In your worst moments, Jesus is aware of what you're going through. Look at the text here. He says, it says in verse 38 that Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, sleep on a pillow. Now, you do know he's fully God and fully man. You do know that, don't you? He's all man and all God at the same time in hyperstatic union. Watch this. Because as he is, the Bible says we shall be like him one day. Am I right? But when we're saved, we're filled with the same Spirit of God that Jesus was covered by. And every now and then, the humanity side of us, if Jesus can sleep, we can sleep. Yeah, yes, we can. He was asleep, but he was on board. You see, it helps us to grasp the fact that if Jesus is going to sleep, I want him sleep in my house. If he's going to sleep, I want him sleep in my life. If Jesus is going to sleep, I want him in the car while I'm driving out. He can sleep as long as he's with me. The text says that he was displaying his human side. He had been teaching all day, and he knew that it was time to take a break because he had a night class. Stay with me. And so he went to the teacher's lounge, and he laid down a few minutes. And there he was in the teacher's lounge. The Bible said the hinder part of the ship, but he was the only one there. The disciples, they ran to him and they woke him up. And look at what they said to him. Master, do you care that we're perishing? Do you have any sense of what we're going through? And listen, when life storms come to us, don't we feel the same way the disciples do? I mean, the storm just started. You know, it's almost as if we can't take 5 minutes of trials and tribulations. It's almost as if we can't take one or two aches and pains. It's almost as if we can't handle what God has put in front of us. And so, look, Jesus, look. I know you've been teaching all day. I understand that you had some folks in the multitude. But look. We're about to perish here, following you to the other side. You could have left us on the shore. You could have left us with the multitude. You could have left us with our cousins. And here we are on this ship, following you to the other side. And I just believe, if I use my imagination, verse 39, the Bible says, now, Jesus arose. He was asleep, but he arose. See, you just gave me the idea right there, young man. He woke up and he said, "Oh my goodness! Oh goodness gracious! What y'all say? Master, we're perishing. Don't you care? Oh, really? What's going on? Well, the wind is blowing, Lord, and the waves are beating into the ship. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Really? All right, here I come. The Bible said he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind and the sea obeyed. It just didn't stop blowing of the wind. It just did not stop the raging of the waves. The text says there was a great calm. You see, not only did the waves become motionless, and not only did the wind cease, the storm lost its noise. And you see, many times when we're in the storms of life, the storm is not so bad, but it's the noise that it makes. I'm trying to sleep at night, but I keep thinking about the cry of the child before they lost their life. I keep thinking about how mama was moaning and groaning in bed before she passed away. It's always the noise. These disciples, they were fishermen. They were men who lived on the sea. The wind wasn't bad. They had been in wind before. They had been in rain before. They've been in perilous waves. But there comes a time in life that it's not just the storm, it's the noise that the storms make. And they speak to us and they shatter our lives, they shatter our thoughts. And Jesus realized this, and he realizes it right now in your life and in mine as well. He says, I got to teach a lesson here. So when we look at the text, we find what I call some nuggets here. I wish I could say they were gold nuggets and you could cash them in after I leave. But I want to leave you with some spiritual nuggets that will help you, because we need to learn from Jesus. The first thing we see in the text that will help us today is that, are you willing to take Jesus on board in your life? You see, he doesn't just want to be a passenger in your life. He wants to be on board in your life. In other words, when they get to the other side and dock the ship and they get out of the boat, he doesn't want you to leave him at the shore. In other words, when you come to church on Sunday and you leave the worship experience, do you leave Jesus in the sanctuary? Or do you take him and place him in the car with you? He don't want to just ride in the car with you. He wants to find the car and you and him parked in the garage, parked at the house. He wants to be on board in your life. And Jesus understands that there are times that we'll leave home without him. You remember the American Express card slogan said, don't leave home without him. Well, Jesus is the same way. because he knows that there will be storms in our lives. And he says, listen, don't leave home without me. Are we willing to position him in our lives in such a way that when the storms come, we don't have to cry out anymore? We don't have to call him. We don't have to go to the hinder part of the ship. We know that he is there. We know that he is a part of our lives. And be careful. Don't let the noise in life separate you from the Lord. Nothing can separate him, but don't you let the noise separate you. He wants to be on board. The same Jesus was willing to come on board in the ship where they were. And we must be willing to accept Christ on board in our lives. So much so that he comes to live on the inside. Now I must warn you that when he comes to live on the inside, he knows the condition of your ship. He knows the stability of the size of your life. And when he comes in, he just don't go to sleep. He comes in cleaning up some stuff. He comes in and he realizes that there are some things that need to change in your life. And what we have to receive and welcome from him is that he doesn't want us to stay the same. Amen, preacher. Because I've been trying to be this person, and I feel like I'm in a real good place, but every time I turn around, something keeps moving me, blowing me. Something keeps moving my stability. Something keeps moving my goal, keeps moving my end. And that's the Lord saying that although you are fairly good, I want you to become even better. Although you speak to everybody that you come in contact with on the job, there are some folks you won't go and make contact with them. There are some folks in the neighborhood. You know the kind of folks that are in your neighborhood. You know the kind of folks that are down the street. You know them. You hear them when they drive up because they're making a lot of noise. Will you speak to that person? Jesus, interesting here that as he dealt with his disciples, it was calm. It was quiet. The only one was talking now was Jesus. And what we should want from the Lord is that life can get so tough and get out of balance is that we want to be able to hear a word from the Lord. It was calm, it was quiet, and Jesus said unto them, why are you so fearful? Listen, if you're just like me, this is not the first sermon you've heard. It's not the first lesson you've been taught. You've been in church for some time in your life, and yet we haven't learned the lesson. How do you handle your storms in life? Do you stop by the neighborhood bar? Everybody ain't sober at the same time. Do you eat your misery? Everybody ain't trying to be healthy at the same time. Or do you lie to yourself? Because there are things that happen in life, in your life. The Bible does say, let every man examine themselves. So when you examine your life, what makes you so fearful? This is the lesson for today. What are you afraid of? Snakes. I got it. And I got older, and I'm easier to be frightened. I thank God that he knows that I will never pass that lesson. So he keeps the snakes away. But there are some snakes in my family that they show up. Watch, by the time I get in the car today, one of them gonna show up. You were supposed to be at your church. How do you handle the things that cause you fear in life? And all of us have them, all right? But he says here, he says, not only are you fearful, he said, how is it that you have no faith? And listen, you know, I've done many teachings in regard to faith, and we can get so sanctimonious about the word faith and so theologically inclined. Jesus says to them, how is it that you have no trust in me? And for the life of me, and I'm growing just like all of you have to grow, how is it that there are times in our lives when the waves are battering and the storms, the winds are blowing, that we don't have no faith in Jesus? None. You talked about the little boy who had surgery this morning. Is going to be at home at noon. That little boy has to exhibit some faith, little boy faith. And it seems like the kids can have more faith than the adults. See, because when you haven't seen a lot of things, you just accept, mama gonna take care of me, daddy gonna take care of me, food gonna be on the table, I'm gonna have clothes on my back, I don't worry about it, it's coming, I don't have to ask about it many times, they just show up with clothes. That's how we are to think about Jesus. He knows exactly what we need. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his, and all these. So my question is, when was the last time he added without you adding? You see, I expressed to the congregation where I serve is that we should always be experiencing God through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, working in our lives, doing such an act that you can say it was only God that can do it. And it ought not happen to such a point to where, whoa, Lord, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to thank him. But it ought to happen with regularity. Because when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, it has value. They said, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Listen. We learn that we have to be willing to take him on board. That's the first thing. The next thing that we learn is that we're not to be found with no faith. Let me see if I can say it again. There should not be a time as believers that we have no faith. That's a travesty for believers to front Jesus out in their lives, and when a storm comes, we have no faith. That's a false testimony to say, I love the Lord, and when we get the doctor's report, we fall out as if we're already dead. It just can't be true that every time your child gets a report from school, they're the ones being bad, and you're going to go to school and jump on the teacher? There should not be a time when the believer has no faith. And I know my mind want to tell you that faith is the substance and all that. Yeah, we got that. Now let's apply it. The disciples didn't have the substance when the storm showed up. And Jesus wants us to take from this lesson is to have faith and be ready with our faith when unfavorable conditions arise. And they will come. In this life, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He says, I've already overcome them. Faith is the muscle that we have in Christ that will overcome spiritual difficulties. And we have to have faith if we're going to serve in capacity as believers for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says we walk by faith. Most of us in here this morning, if not all of us, we got two eyes. Pastor, he just got one right now. So while we don't use as much faith to walk, since we can see, he got to use a little bit more faith today. But the idea is to understand that we walk and we live in a spiritual realm where we rely on the word of God versus the word of the world. And we must not be found without faith. Are you with me? Bible said that he's given unto us the measure of faith. But not only that, we must be willing to take him on board. We shall not be found without faith. But just because Jesus is on board, now let us make sure we're on board with Jesus. It's in your text. They feared exceedingly, and they wanted to know, what manner of man is this? Listen. When the Lord has comforted you when you were sad, when the Lord has supplied for you when you had lack, when the Lord was a tile of consolation for your tears, you know what manner of man he is? Y'all miss your shout. The hymn writer wrote, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the seas heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Listen, it wasn't a literal water for many of us, but the Lord rescued us when we were sinking deep in sin. And that's enough to be on board with him. If the Lord can change my life, I know what kind of life I was living, then I need to be on board with him. If the Lord can make me the person that I am today, I need to be on board with him. It's not just enough to have him in your life and you're not drawing spiritual strength from him. It's not enough to say that we serve him and not go out and be servants in our community. It's not enough to come to church and don't go home and have church. And so And so they asked the question, what manner of man is he? Well, he's one that we need to have on board with us in our lives. He is the same man that when we encounter our storms, he expects us to respond with faith and not be found with no faith. But he's the same one that we should be on board with him. How can two walk together lest they agree? And we've got to learn to agree with Jesus Christ. I'd like to go back to this last question. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can I tell you what manner of man is he? He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Somebody call him the root of Jesse. He is the bright and morning star. Grandmama and them said he's a burden bearer and a heavy load sharer. What kind of man is this? He's Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. He is the deliverer and the rescuer, the sacrifice and the sacrificing. He is the one who sits high and still looks low and loves you in spite of who you are. They asked the question. There was 12 of them. All 12 said, what manner of man is this? Well, I can tell you, he's Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. He's the same man that reckoned to the Father that he would go and see about the children on the earth. And he came down through 42 generations. And he came to this earth born in a stable in Bethlehem. He's the same man that grew up just like these kids are growing up. He is the same man that went about doing good. He went about performing miracles on those who did not deserve it, but they deserve it because he is a loving God. He's the same man that went to the cross at Calvary, died for our sins, thrust the spirit aside, died on the cross, placed him in the grave, and early Sunday morning, he rose again with all power in his hand. And I said that the text said he has all power. That simply means, first of all, I have no power. Because the Bible cannot lie. He has all power. And if he's got all power, that means the devil don't have no power. But I have access to all power. Learning from Jesus, we learn that he needs to be on board. He needs to be the center of our lives. And because he is, we should not be found with no faith. And then we ought to be on board. We ought to agree with Jesus that if the storm comes, this text tells us he is the master of the storm. Watch this. One last point I want to make. These are literally invisible storms. The storms that we have are visible to Jesus. These are invisible storms. But the storms that we have are visible. There's not a storm that will not come in your life that he is not already master over it. And if you're here today, why do we stress learning from Jesus? Well, first of all, if we were to die today, where would we spend eternity? That's the question. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, you may be there also. But in order to be where Jesus is, you got to have him on board. You got to have faith. And you've got to be in agreement with him. So we extend the privilege of salvation through discipleship. If you're here today and you do not have a relationship with him, we ask that you would give your life to Christ this day while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Bow with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. For your word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we may find ourselves following the faithful one, Jesus. And we pray, Father, if there's anyone here today that does not have a relationship with you through your Son, we ask them this day to admit that they are sinners, confess their sins, and believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Thank you, Father. You know the heart that is empty. You know the life that is void. We pray that they will reach out to you on this day. Save their souls, make their life whole. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, all of y'all that love the Lord, let's give him a hand clap of praise, amen. Amen. God bless you and keep you is my prayer.